In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
10-8
doesn't sound like anything special in an 18-game stretch, but I'm here to tell you that 10-8 in August, in 18 games in 18 days, with what the Padres face travel-wise, trips to the East Coast, 4-game series, the heat and oppressive humidity of St. Louis, playing in a dome in Tampa, flights all over the place. I'm telling you, 10-8 isn't just acceptable. 10-8 is excellent.
It's excellent. It's absolutely excellent, man. It really is.
And I get that you lost ground to the Dodgers during that 10-8 stretch. You may have just kind of treaded water with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You lost ground to the Mets. You may have picked up a game on the Braves. I'm not sure. It doesn't feel great, but it really is, given the toughest part of the schedule for the San Diego Padres. And I just wanted to make sure that it was not overlooked. It also, by the way, if you go back to the 28 days, 27 games, 4 weeks ago today, the Padres were starting a stretch.
I think that's more important, the 27 games in 28 days, than just 18 and 18.
You know what? No record,
question.
Your record there?
18 and 9.
18 and 9.
That's fantastic, dude. That's fantastic. I mean, again,
that's almost unbelievable.
They're talking about it in AC. Kevin's talking about it in his newsletter this morning. You know, it could have been, as Manny said, make or break. It did have that feel, as Kevin mentions as well. But yeah, man, that's really good baseball. 18 and 10, 18 and 9. In that stretch of 27, that is good ass baseball. Period.
Kevin breaks it down too. Like, you forget. You honestly, we live so much day to day.
Yeah.
The 27 and 28 day stretch, it began with the rain delay in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Had to use 5 relievers that day. Their next 7 games were all within 1 run of each other in the 7th inning or later at some point. Then they played in Miami. They lost. Had to fly all the way back to San Diego. They won that next game. Like it. Then the Colorado series. Like they really endured a lot.
Not altitude because that was here. But
the Colorado.
That was in Colorado.
Colorado. Altitude, heat, travel was nasty. I'm so happy they're home right now. Hopefully, all still in bed, not getting out of bed until noon today at the early at the latest. Stay in bed. Relax. You guys have earned it and really, really did more than keep your head above water in that stretch.
Now, it doesn't guarantee anything going forward, but the Padres have put themselves in a good position. And based on my calculations, their magic number is now 20 to clinch a playoff spot going into the last 4 weeks of the season. Now, people have pointed out, well, the Mets are only 4 games back. And you certainly can lose 4 games in 4 weeks. That's a game a week. You have not guaranteed yourself anything. But remember, it's not just the Mets who have to catch you. The Braves would also have to catch you. And the Diamondbacks would have to catch you. So if the Padres just played 500 ball the rest of the way, they're getting to 90 wins. If they play just a game above 500, they're getting to 92 wins. This is a very good spot to be in. They're not guaranteed anything, but remember, they just had their stretch. They've played more games than other teams, which means these other teams now, some of them have to make up rain games on like one-day trips to, you know, on a Monday the rest of the season. They're having stretches where they're just hoping to survive, and they're going, yeah, you know what? 10-8 looks pretty good over our next 18 if we can survive that. The Padres, meanwhile, have the day off today, 5 comfortable games at home to finish this homestand, a day off on Monday, a quick 2-game series in Seattle, not that bad of a flight, another day off next Thursday, and then a quick flight down to San Francisco for 3 more games, and then I believe another day off after that. They can get their legs under them while these other teams are now clawing and scratching and hoping to, you know, tread water and fight.
They only have to leave California for the 2-hour flight up to Seattle yep. and the 35-minute flight over to Arizona.
Yeah.
The rest of the season.
Yeah, it's
and
fantastic.
That's big the rest of the way.
It's fantastic. And the way that these guys have played all season, how hard they've played all season, really deserves a hat tip from us and from the fans out there. They have really busted their tails. They've stayed together. You've not heard one ripple, not one ripple of any dissension or anything. No one's unhappy. There's guys that wish they were playing better, sure, but man, a lot of credit goes to those guys and of course the manager and the GM as well for keeping this team together, keeping this team fighting. Again, if you can't really worry about right now, Benny, what the other teams do. If you handle your business like you're supposed to, you're going to the playoffs this year. And what's their record overall right now?
18 games above 500.
At what?
79-61.
79-61.
The three of us, a lot of people in this building, a lot of people outside this building, 81-81. They are 2 wins away from what everyone pretty much projected they would win. With how many games to play?
22.
Okay. 2 wins away from what everyone thought they would be. And we didn't know, hey man, 500 may get you in. May get you in this year. It's not going to. I don't think so.
No,
so,
National League has picked it up here in the second half.
They sure have.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. And it's mostly the teams in our division. So I'm telling you, man, like, that is 2 games. You win 2 more games, and that's kind of what we thought was your ceiling this year. The ceiling now is obviously higher, but it doesn't take away anything they've accomplished so far to this point. They're in a good position. They're in a great position to make the playoffs. Like you said, all those things factor in with the days off, the rest. It's pretty amazing the run that they've gone on since the All-Star break.
Couple of open phone lines if you want to get in as a contestant for Take on Woods. We'll take a random caller here in a couple of minutes. 833-288-0973. If you're on hold, you can stay there, but we do have a couple of open lines if you want to try to get in. 833-288-0973. Trendwave TV on our YouTube chat says, thank you, Higgins, for pointing out Mason McCoy's importance yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I felt the same way. It's like, I will sacrifice, but I'm going to try to get my best to get on base. And you all knew that he was bunting there, didn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
I was like 100% sure.
100% chance.
That he was bunting in that situation.
No question.
The only people in the stadium I thought who weren't didn't seem to be sure with the Tigers.
Where are you guys playing?
Exactly. I was like, you didn't know that was coming? Does anybody advance scout anymore and know what the tendencies are of their, you know, Padres and their number 9 hitter in a 1-run game with a runner on second base?
It's the Padres. I mean, it's not enough for Steven Coronado, but there's been plenty of evidence presented throughout the season.
It was a really good bunt.
It's great bunt.
And they may have, even if they knew it was coming, he might have still gotten a base hit on that one. It was an excellently laid down bunt.
But there's no way on any planet that third baseman shouldn't have been 10 feet in on the grass
exactly.
waiting for it.
Daring them to swing away.
I dare you to swing away. I dare you.
We
I
want
dare
you to swing away. They should have known that bunt was coming. That was a mistake by A.J. Hinch.
100%.
And the Tigers in terms of scouting and preparation in that game.
Crazy. Caught him slipping, man. Took advantage. Padres win that game. It was amazing.
It is amazing how those little things over the course of the season. You may advance scout, and it may not impact you for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
But one day, you may have the information that goes, yeah, they're going to bunt here.
Do you really need...
They're going to bunt here.
How much advanced scouting do you need to know he's dropping one situation of the game, the inning, the whole thing? How much advanced scouting do you really, really need?
I mean, I would have bet... my house
100%.
On the fact that Mason McCoy was going to bunt there.
Attempt, at least, right? Didn't know he was going to get
it down.
I don't
know if he was going to down or if he was going to get on base, but, you know, I was just so 100% sure that he was going to bunt there. I was stunned that there wasn't someone closer pinched in defensively for the Detroit Tigers.
You guys got to stop tweeting me after bunts like that. I like bunts like that. I know that's coming. I don't like Jackson Merrill squaring the sacrifice bunt in the fourth inning or Jerickson Profar in the third. Those are the ones that drive me nuts because those are elite-type players and hitters. Mason McCoy, he's there to get that bunt down.
Is that but we'll talk about the Rays series coming up here, but is that now twice the Padres have had a batter square around a bunt
yes.
at the start of an at-bat and end the at-bat with a multi-run home run
correct.
Instead?
Yeah, Jerickson and Jackson both have done it. I don't think either of them were deking the defense either, and they just didn't get it down, and they hit a home run, which is what they've done at pretty prodigious rates this year.
All right, we will get to that series coming up. Don't do this as well, but right now it is time with a brand-new prize to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods.
Take on
Woods.
All right, let's pick a line at random. Paulie, we go John. How about John, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, you are a contestant. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car for directions and discounts. Go to SoCalOilChange.com. I need to go in the next week or so. I just got that light popped on my car again for the oil change. Very easy. I live right by a Valvoline. All right, here is the brand new prize. How about this one? For the month of September, beat or tie Woods, you will qualify for a two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas. That's fancy enough for me. And two tickets to see Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn. Dazzling audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, and comedic moments. At the heart of this compelling story, a hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world. A mythic adventure unfolds set amidst the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. I will not be reading that whole thing every single day this month, so take notes if you're interested in Awakening. That's our prize. You get to choose our category here today, John. Here are your choices. We've got Asian Nation, song titles that feature a single word ending in Asian, A-T-I-O-N. Little Shop of Horrors, song titles or musical artists beginning with the word little. And our new category, Hit or Miss, five song titles that begin with either the word hit or the word miss. So, Asian Nation, Little Shop of Horrors, Hit or Miss, John, what's it going to be?
Let's go Hit or Miss.
Hit or Miss, the new category. Today's category, again, five song titles, they all begin with either the word hit or the word miss. Good strategy, because that can be a tricky one for Woods to figure out when they're not the same, when it's two different ones. But you know. So that should give you the advantage here, John. You have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as possible. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is the two-second song. Paulie is queuing it up now. You need to give me that title, starting with hit or miss, and the artist to score that point. John, are you ready to play?
Do it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music in the category Hit or Miss. Good luck, John. Let's take on Woods.
Hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar.
Correct. Which 1978 song with a two-word title from their Some Girls album became the eighth and final number one hit for the Rolling Stones in the United States?
Pass.
Margie Hendrix provided the female vocals for which 1961 signature Ray Charles hit. And Don't You Come Back No More, No More, No More, No More.
Hit the Road Jack.
Correct. Which 1996 Tupac diss track is targeted largely at Notorious B.I.G.
Hit him up.
Correct. And The Heartbreak Prince completes which Taylor Swift song title that also provided the title of a 2020 documentary that followed Swift and her life over several years. Go back to the which 1978 song with a two-word title from their Some Girls album became the eighth and final number one hit for the Rolling Stones in the United States?
Pass.
Back to And the Heartbreak Prince completes which Taylor Swift song?
Miss America. Miss America.
It's actually Miss Americana. And it came after the buzzer. Late. Don't worry, I don't think Woods is going to get that one. You did get three. You got Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar. Hit the Road Jack and Hit Him Up. The Rolling Stones song is Miss You, which is one of my favorites. Let's bring Woods in. John, hang on the line. Very, very good score, I think. Woods in the dark on the category. All right, you ready? 60 seconds back on the clock.
Ready.
Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
Hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar.
Correct. Which 1978 song with a two-word title from their Some Girls album became the eighth and final number one hit for the Rolling Stones in the United States?
I feel like the category would help me here. Pass.
Margie Hendrix provided the female vocals for which 1961 signature Ray Charles hit, and Don't You Come Back No More, No More, No More,
Hit the
No
road,
More.
Jack.
Correct. Which 1996 Tupac diss track is targeted
large. Hit him up.
Correct. And The Heartbreak Prince completes which Taylor Swift song title that also provided the title of a 2020 documentary that followed Swift and her life over several years?
I'll pass on that one.
Which 1978 song with a two-word title from their Some Girls album became the eighth and final number one hit for the Rolling Stones in the United States? I knew this might be a troublesome one for you.
Is it something with hit? Shot?
Categories.
Category has definitely,
definitely
made an impact here.
Oh, man, we're brick. That's it.
That's a tie. Congratulations, John.
All right, give me a category.
The category is hit or miss.
Okay, miss you.
Miss you.
Was the Stones.
I knew if you knew the category. That would make a difference.
What was Taylor's?
Miss Americana.
Miss Americana. I wouldn't have gotten it.
I didn't think you would, which Kate came down to miss you. And if you had the category, you would have gotten it.
Damn it.
But you didn't. So, John, congratulations. You are in day one in our drawing for the win encore trip to Las Vegas. Congratulations.
I do love that song, Miss You. I love it.
I said the same thing. It's one of my favorites.
It's so good.
Rolling Stone songs as well. I like this one by Pat Benatar as well. All right, Woods, you want to tease us for Don't Do This?
Oh, man, do not let your Twitter fingers write checks that your Twitter mouth can't cash. Literally, in this case.
Coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
It's rare that a Don't Do This story, the same story, catches both of our eyes.
Yes.
But I actually sent myself this story. And then I saw Woods retweeted it yesterday. So I knew at that moment we were definitely getting a DDT story. So, Woodsy, I'll let you get started.
Yeah, we were on the same page, definitely, Benjamin. There was, listen, if you're a Florida State football fan, your program is in disrepair. And it happens. It happens to the best of programs. You know, you fall into disrepair, and you can't win games. And now, after last night's loss to BC...
Their second loss, because they lost to Georgia Tech already in Dublin in the first week of the year.
This is a school that was undefeated last year, right?
Yeah,
and ranked 10th to start the year.
They got snubbed out of the playoffs. Everyone was pissed.
Yep.
You're thinking, oh, that's going to fuel this team.
Yeah.
Now, it's a totally different team, like every college football team.
It's weird that Georgia and Alabama and all kinds of other teams can rebound and keep...
0-2 already.
0-2 already.
Season hasn't even started yet.
It feels like the season has not started. They've lost twice. So there was a Twitter user, and what he did is he tweeted it. Now, he looks like a Florida State fan. He's got a big, very dyed black beard. He's got aviators on. He's got a lot of gold chains on. He's holding a cigar.
What makes that a Florida State fan versus, say, a Miami fan or a Florida fan?
Yeah, I think you
just
could...
Anything down
in the Florida panhandle, maybe. But he tweeted, "If Florida State loses to BC this weekend, I will eat dog ass out of a red Solo cup with a spoon and post a video of me doing it. Book it." So he made a little... You know, he made a declaration on Twitter. Well, people see
showing
that.
Confidence in his team.
100%.
A lot of confidence.
100%. And he says it, buddy, last night in the first half of the game, people started remembering. Oh, remember that guy that said he was going to do that? Let's go see where he is.
Well, they were getting bodied by Boston,
Boston College
in the first half.
Yeah, it's at 321 Knoll is his Twitter account. But he deleted his account in the first half. Deleted it. Everyone started roasting. Well, now a non-existent person on social media. And they were pissed. They were really, well, really pissed.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, hey, man, you can't say you're going to do that. And then not only not do it, but bail. Just completely delete and wipe yourself clean. Now, we've got some people on the case here. Jack McGuire says, the dog ass eater is on the run, like you wouldn't believe. In the last hour, he's deleted his Instagram and Facebook. The man is recently engaged. Imagine explaining to your soon-to-be wife why you had to go zero dark 30 on social media. I have his fiance's Instagram. I think I may draw the line at involving civilians, but I'd be lying if I didn't consider it.
That would be screwed up.
They're after this guy, dude. They are after him. And so now what they're saying is... You've cursed the Florida State program for life. If you say you're going to do this and you don't do it, but they're already 0-2. I mean, but I'll tell you what, as far as a proclamation or a declaration goes, that's one of the worst I've ever heard. Why? You don't need to do that. You don't need to say, I will eat dog ass, because it's football. Anything can happen, and you're not a great team. Eating dog poop, the thought of it makes me retch.
It really, does anyone want to see him doing that? I don't. I really don't. Woods kind of does.
I kind of do. Because I would definitely throw up if I saw it.
Right.
But
it's not going to make any of us happy.
If you make that declaration.
He made a mistake. He's got to own it.
Well, he didn't own it. He bailed. He is 100%.
Would that satisfy anyone, though, if he stayed? He goes, I may have gotten carried away with myself and my confidence in Florida State. Obviously, I'm not going to actually eat.
I'm not going to. So quit.
That would be unsanitary, unsafe, and no one really wants to see that in a red Solo cup or otherwise. Why a red Solo cup?
I don't know.
Why not in a styrofoam, you know, clamshell?
Why not in a clamshell? Why not in a cloche?
Ooh.
Dog poop covered by a cloche. Yeah, somebody says
martini glass.
Martini glass. Somebody says sounds like some Dan Clark.
Dan Clark
does this all the time. Remember Dan Clark? Manny Machado does something. I'll get his name tattooed on my ass.
I mean, remember when Mudd said if the Padres come from behind to beat the Washington Nationals, he would walk from Alpine. Yeah, that was the Daniel Camarena Grand Slam game that forced Mudd then to make his trek from Alpine to Petco Park. And he did it.
He did it, man. Now, Mutt is a man of his word. I wore a diaper for 4 hours.
But I'd rather walk from Alpine to Petco Park than eat dog doo-doo out of a Red Solo.
I'd rather wear a diaper for a four-hour show than walk from Alpine to Petco Park or eat dog poop out of a... somebody said it could kill you. Could it? Eating a bite of dog poop? I don't think it's going to kill you. It's going to ruin your day, though.
Can't be good for you.
It's not going to help you. I mean,
I can't believe it, man. I mean, he's gone. He's out. And now people are on the case.
And that is just, that's truly his punishment.
You know it's got, I mean, you know they're going to come get
you. This is his punishment, that he is now no longer welcome in polite online society.
Yeah.
All right. Let's stick with college football, Woods. There are actually a few to choose from. There was Florida's coach who couldn't open a water bottle while talking about how embarrassed his team should be at their loss to Miami on Saturday.
Their
toughness. He's just sitting there. What's his name?
Billy Napier.
Billy Napier is just sitting there trying to open an Aquafina bottle and just cannot get it open. And he's going, we should be embarrassed at this performance. And he can't. He just eventually sets it down. Just like his team, in utter failure at the end of the game. But you had one of your favorites, so I'll let you go with Brian Kelly here.
Apologize to our beloved TJ, who is a huge LSU fan.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Uh-huh. I don't think they feel that way anymore about Brian Kelly after yet another opening day neutral site loss. Brian Kelly.
Maybe just open against Southwestern Louisiana at home next year.
Holy Cross College. figure it out, man. I mean, eventually, he needs to get... He's the type of coach, and he's always been the type of coach. This happened when he was the Notre Dame coach, and the start slow. Hey, you can't really do it in college football, though. You really need to come out of the gates firing. And they lost again. And here he is.
Who did they lose to?
USC. Yeah. And I like that quarterback. He looks good.
That was a great game.
Great game.
Miller Moss. Now, remember, he was the star of the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah.
At Petco Park last year.
Yeah, he looks really good. But he did the old performative fist slam.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Do it again.
About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put him away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach.
You said it, bud. You said it. Oh, man, I do not miss him.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again.
You said it.
Could have been Bob Melvin last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever pounded his fist on anything.
Oh, he rocked back and forth. That was his bit.
Another game we could have won.
Just rocking back and
didn't
forth.
Didn't win.
Yeah. Notice the lack of accent in that. Paulie, one more time. just try to notice the difference in this one.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Little
about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position.
I'm here with my family.
Doing on the sideline
so
is feeling.
And we're sitting here again with no direction. Did it again.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with. You great fans.
Oh, my Lord. Brian Kelly has lost.
It's not the same person.
It's not the same person.
It will make me laugh.
He has lost.
Forever.
He's lost his mind. He's lost his mind.
Finally, a little doo-doo this on a Tuesday.
DD mega doo-doo.
Congratulations to, Scottie Scheffler, first of all, who completed probably the best single season we've seen since Tiger Woods on the golf calendar with a $25 million win in the Tour Championship in Atlanta. Started with the lead, held it after every round, and he was deservedly the best player of the year. Finished four shots ahead of Colin Morikawa to win the FedEx Cup. But real congratulations, I think, go out to his caddy, Ted Scott. So Scottie Scheffler won $62 million in prize and bonus money this year.
That is so earned in golf. I mean, it is earned. you have to earn that much money. Dude.
No, not if you go to the LIV Tour. They all earn more than that without doing anything. But he earned all of it. Now, if you go by the traditional 10% for a winner's fee and you calculate, could be a little bit different, but just kind of assuming what his caddy made, Ted Scott made around $6.2 million this year. That's more than Jack Nicklaus made in his entire career. Scotty Scheffler's caddy made more in 1 year than Jack Nicklaus made in his entire career because of how much he won this year on the PGA Tour.
Scotty's a really, really hard guy to root against. You just can't do it, but what a monster. He's just a monster.
He got arrested this year.
He did get arrested
this year. Still ended up with probably the greatest season since maybe like mid-2000s Tiger Woods.
But Dub J makes a good point here. We probably dropped the ball here. The Manny jersey swap story should have been this. But yeah, we haven't gotten into that game yet.
No, so we'll talk about it, though. That's the weekend that was in Tampa is next up. But that was Don't and Do This on a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I wanted the Kyrie first pitch yesterday.
That was a great
one. This,
that was a great
which was
one.
Fantastic as well. Amazing.
Looks like he threw a little something, a little cut on it. Maybe a little.
I mean, right on the outside corner at the knees. Just perfect.
Kid's the coolest.
It was his seventh birthday, right?
Yeah.
That was such a cool moment yesterday.
Bo's obsessed with Kyrie. He thinks they could be best friends.
Do you ever have someone growing up that you thought if I met them, we would be best friends? Like a famous person?
No, I mean, I had famous girls that I wanted, like Alyssa Milano. I thought maybe we could date. I wrote her a letter.
You wrote her a letter?
Sure did.
A letter.
Yeah,
did you send it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To where? Like the care of
the
studio?
The care of the studio? Yeah, 100%.
Who's the boss?
Yeah.
7800 Hollywood Boulevard.
Wrote her a letter. Sure did. Sure did.
Did she write you back?
She did not.
Oh.
She did not.
No signed picture or anything?
No, nothing.
Wow, what a disappointment.
I know. Very disappointing.
All right. We'll look back at that great moment and the series, Padres and Rays from over the weekend.
Talk to
Sammy Leavitt. That's right. Early Sammy.
Trying to get you guys to go to break.
Yeah. Next on 97.3 The Fan. Well, Sammy can stay around for a couple seconds. We got Sammy Leavitt standing by. First baseball coverage of 97.3 The Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Sammy in the clubhouse yesterday for the return of Fernando Tatis Jr. We'll get his perspective right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So with no game on a Tuesday, our normal Tuesday guest, Jesse Agler, will join us on Wednesday. But because Monday was a holiday, our normal Monday guest, Sammy Leavitt, joins us right now on a Tuesday. Good morning, Sammy.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hope you had a great holiday weekend, and good to be with you on this fine Tuesday.
Good to have you.
Good to have you, yes.
Yeah, Sammy, that was pretty electric stuff yesterday at the old ballpark.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whether you want to take the headline entering the game of Fernando returning, which obviously was great news and I think is a huge boost for this team on the field and in that clubhouse. And then the game itself, we didn't see, you know, any, you know, big time Fernando plays, but that's okay. I think him getting out there and looking good was what you wanted to see. And obviously, I think the headline from yesterday, on a day, by the way, where the team has a cross-country flight the day before and then has a day game to wrap up an 18-game, an 18-day stretch, I think, number one, you just wanted to find a way to win the game, which they did. And number two, Joe Musgrove continues to just look outstanding, which I don't think you can say enough about what that means for this team, for this rotation, for the potential postseason picture of this rotation. It's an enormous deal. And again, yesterday, he just looked super sharp. And when he got in trouble, he was able to find his way out of it. I just think you have to be so, so encouraged with how Joe looks, how he continues to feel. And it's just a good reminder is now we wait for Yu Darvish to make his return tomorrow, how important those guys can be. And you know, they're pretty fresh with the time missed. So, again, it's a good reminder of what having a guy like Joe back means, what having a guy like you back means, and obviously the performances they can put together.
Sam, oftentimes when a superstar player is out, there's a narrative in sports. Hey, let's hang on while they're gone, and then, you know, we'll hit our stride when we get healthy again. That has not been the case with the Padres. While Fernando Tatis Jr. was gone, they actually have played their best baseball of the season, and I think it's kind of coloring the perspective of of how the clubhouse feels now that he is back. What was your impression of talking to the guys? You know, obviously there was a lot of excitement, but didn't feel like anyone's looking to Fernando Tatis necessarily to have to now, all right, now you got to put us on your backs, because they don't need that.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Ben. They've played themselves into a position, despite missing Fernando, despite missing Darvish, despite missing Joe. They've played themselves in a position where now they get those guys back in a real position of power. I mean, look, were they scorching hot over the 18 games in 18 days? No, they went 10-8, which you'll certainly take. And if you zoom out a little bit farther in the 27 games in 28 days, they came out of it, number one, with a good record. And number two, if you want to look at the standings, this morning they would hold the top wild card spot and host a wild card series. So if you zoom out a little bit, this team has done a tremendous job at weathering the storm of injuries. And you're right, they played their best baseball without those guys there. And you know, now to get those guys back for the very end of the season, hopefully heading into October, it says a lot about this group, and not just about the mentality and the culture, which I all think has been impressive, but they've got contributions all over the place, as cliche as it sounds. To me, it's been one of the real great things about this group, especially in the second half. There have been so many games individually where you just feel like it's a 26-man roster effort, from the David Peraltas to the Donovan Solanos to the Tyler Wades to different guys in the bullpen to Martin Perez. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, there have been, you know, you can't point to one guy that has carried the load. I mean, certainly having Manny playing the way he's played, that helps. But you can't point to one guy who's been responsible for it, which I think is one of the real great aspects of this team and what they've done. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday it's Luis Arraez coming through with two big knocks, two big RBI. I mean, just Manny adding on. But, you know, the bullpen additions, Sammy, have been fantastic. So as you mentioned, we sit with the first wild card today. We were chopping it up on, you know, off the air and talking about, well, you know, Dodgers are playing well. Everyone kind of expected them to win the division. Where do you stand as far as, where do you want to be? You want to be the first wild card, Sammy, and host those games at home? Because that's kind of what we landed on in here is the Ben and Woods official statement. We want those games here at Petco Park, you know, when that time comes.
I totally agree. I think you want that number one wild card seed. Now, if you want to start getting really picky and say, hey, I don't want to face the Diamondbacks, I get it. Diamondbacks are a good team. They've been there, done that as far as making a postseason run with this same group a year ago. Look, the Braves are a good team, too. And look, nothing's guaranteed at this point. I think we need to be very clear about that. The Mets are playing well. They're a half game out behind Atlanta as of this morning. The Cubs are playing well. All of a sudden, they're back in the mix. And quite frankly, if you're the Padres, you got to keep playing well, because there are teams that are right there. So this thing is not – look, the Padres are in a great position, but this thing is not over. I agree with you guys. I think you want to host those games at home. I do think at Petco Park, with the environment that's been built, there's a real value to that, to playing at home. And if you're somebody out there that would rather play a team other than the Diamondbacks, then I guess you hope the Diamondbacks don't play well and you get some other team. But you can't pick the opponent. I do think, quite obviously, you want to play those games at home. I mean, doing what the Padres did in 22, going to New York, winning a three-game series, guys, that's tough to do. It really is. To me, you want to play those games at home, guarantee that you have home games to begin the postseason and go from there. And whoever the opponent is, you know, is who it is.
Talking to Sam Levitt, our Padres pre- and post-game show host. It's his first day off in 2.5 weeks.
Nice.
And here he is up early talking to us.
Sweet angel.
On this first day
off. Well, to correct, I did take...
Well, that's right. You did. You had the wedding.
I'm not Mr. Iron.
You're right. fair enough. All right. Let's. I want us all to put on our speculation hats for a second. I was not surprised that the Padres decided to forego a minor league rehab assignment for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
Get him back to the big club as soon as possible. I was a little surprised to hear yesterday Yu Darvish is going to start tomorrow's game. I was hoping maybe he'd start Friday when Randy Vasquez's turn would be back up, but they're not wasting any time in getting him back to the mound. So what do you think this portends for the Padres' rotation the rest of the way? Are they trying to give Michael King a little extra rest by putting Yu Darvish in a little bit more here? We probably won't see Vasquez again. Obviously, they optioned him. So what do you kind of see going forward for the Padres' starting rotation?
Yeah, I would imagine that's sort of a key part of it, is just giving guys a little bit of extra rest, right? I mean, we've seen Dylan Cease run into some more trouble lately. Obviously, we all understand with Michael King, he's in uncharted territory as far as the innings and the workload. So I would imagine that was part of it, to just, you know, to give those guys an extra day of rest, which I think is okay. Look, the bottom line, guys, is that they're going to need Cease and King and obviously Joe and Darvish now, hopefully for a couple more months. So trying to keep those guys fresh, I think, is important. You know, so I would imagine that played a pretty significant role, you know, as we put our thinking caps on into why Darvish was slotted in for Wednesday. And look, we don't know the reasoning in the Darvish perspective of it, but it may have just worked out for him too. That's the day that worked out with the bullpens and with how they wanted to slot him in. So, and it also helps, you know, Yu's going to be a little bit limited, I'd imagine. He threw 66 pitches in that, in the last controlled game he threw in Arizona. So, you know, if you put him at, let's say, 78 to 80 pitches for the start on Wednesday, also doesn't hurt that your bullpen is fresh coming off the off day. So that may play a role in it too. So probably a couple of factors, but, you know, getting some rest for those guys, an extra day is not the worst in the worst thing in the world.
Talking to Sam Levitt, one of the nice moments over the weekend was we teased it a little bit, the interaction between Manny Machado and Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Loved it.
You don't see that a lot in baseball. I mean, the fact that he's wearing number 13 and playing third base, I mean, and how emotional he got in that pregame interview where he broke down in tears talking about what an idol Manny is to him. I thought that was one of my favorite moments of the weekend, Sammy.
Yeah, I think it gives you some good perspective on, number one, how cool this game is, right? Manny's been around a long time, and you have somebody who's a number one prospect in baseball and is a whole lot younger than him, who obviously looked up to him in a major way. Where's number 13 because of Manny Machado? So it's a pretty cool perspective and reminder to who Manny is and that the kind of player the Padres have now for a really, really long time. And I think it's just one of the really cool parts of our game, whether you are a player that looks up to somebody, in my case, like as a broadcaster. I mean, I've been super fortunate to now meet some of my broadcast heroes, guys I looked up to, like, you know, no secret, I grew up in New York, you know, watching, listening to Mets games, and to have the chance to get to call, you know, somebody like Gary Cohen of the Mets broadcast, a colleague and somebody I know really well now and can share a press box with them. It's pretty cool. So I get some of those experiences too. So it was cool to see and good for Manny getting out there after the game and doing the jersey exchange. And you could tell how much it meant to Caminero. So I think it's one of the real, cool things that we've seen this season and a good reminder of, you know, who Manny is and what he means to a lot of the young players in this game and what he'll ultimately mean historically in this game.
No question about it. No question. My son had a practice yesterday and took a ball at third, kind of flipped it over, you know, like the sidearm sling. And his coach said, grabbed me after, and he goes, does he watch a lot of baseball? I go, yeah, he watches a ton. He goes, oh, all right, because he's not strong enough yet to make that throw. I go, well, he's playing third base. He wears number 13 also. You know what he's doing. He goes, yeah, he looks great. He's just not quite strong enough to make the
Junior Woods and Arrow.
The Manny sidearm flip yet. So yeah, dude, it's that's a real thing, man. So thank you, Sammy. Really appreciate it. Did you and Gary Cohen do like a mic cover swap when you met him? Like, you take mine and I'll take yours, and then we can move on.
That's very sanitary.
It's not very sanitary at all. It's like the least sanitary thing you could do.
No, there was no mic cover swap. That would be a good idea, though, I guess. I guess it would be the windscreen.
The windscreen.
I guess, swap. Yeah, the windscreen. Or at least like the mic flag. That, you know, I could start
Yes, that's genius.
That would be awesome.
It's genius.
That's
going to come out of your paycheck, Sammy. So if you want to do
here's something funny about the mic flags. I will tell you, at one point at our station, believe it or not, We had a full box because I took
we did.
A couple. So.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that.
All right.
I had no idea. Somewhere. Sammy, appreciate it. Now, enjoy that day off, and we'll hear from you tomorrow.
All right, guys. See you.
Sammy back tomorrow at 5:40 for Game 2 of the series, EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Manny, also, by the way, still on that cusp of history. Talk about that and more when we come back. Second half of Ben and Woods on the way next on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.